I tell legal lies. I tell legal lies. Lies, lies, legal lies. I tell legal lies.
And legal lies.
And legal lies.
Back on.
And
ban on drugs.
Ban on drugs.
And legal lies.
Welcome back to another episode of Black Law and Legal Lies, where we specialize in living hell. I am one of your hosts today, Dan, and you can catch me on Twitter and IG at I Am Dan on Drugs. You can follow the show across all platforms at Black Law Podcast. Anybody else?
I am another one of your hosts, Afro Becky.
Becky.
And I'm That's just Ann, and you can follow me at I Tell Legal Lies. And trust me, I don't know if he may specialize in living hell. I ain't trying to live in hell.
You live in hell.
Hell no, I don't.
Where do you live?
I live in the ninth ward.
That's hell.
Nah. Actually, I live in Gentilly.
You know, that's double hell.
It's the gentrified part of the ninth ward. Thank you.
That's double
Not even
hell.
At all.
Okay, so today on the docket, we have Afro Becky's Hip Hop Knowledge. Are you ready, Becky?
Give it to me, man.
Oh.
Oh, okay. All right, we'll go with something a little old for you, right?
All right.
Basketball is my favorite sport. I love the way they dribble up and down the court. They're playing basketball. They love that basketball.
We like that basketball.
Know the song, don't know the artist, as usual.
Take a
We're
guess.
Playing basketball. Doing it again, dude. We like that basketball.
Little Mike and the Shooters.
Wait, what? Is that a real person?
I just took a guess, like he
no,
said.
No, 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 no. But you have to take a guess at a real group or a real person. Little Mike and the Shooters, that's not real.
How do you know?
Because it's not.
Nah, they was like an old 70s rap group.
You know?
And,
it's not real.
Lil Mike done got his shooters out there, you know? I mean, that's wrong.
Lil Mike and the Shooters. Really?
Lil Mike and the Shooters. Anybody out here looking to start a rap group? Lil Mike and the Shooters. That would actually go with today's climate because everybody Lil something or another. Lil Mike and the Shooters. Man.
Curtis
and Blow. Then they could do some of that mumble rap, be like, Lil Mike and the Shooters. Brat, brat. Lil Mike and them Shooters.
Did you just say mumble rap?
Yeah, That's what it's called. When you can't understand what the fuck they're saying, they'd be like, I'm even saying it again. I'm sitting at the table with them. I'm sitting here, they say, I got a bit whip it hard. You be like, what? What that nigga say? Man,
stop it.
That was Curtis Blow.
Okay.
I think I said that.
So, let's see. I was a fiend before I became a teen. I think we already did that one. Huh. Interesting. Okay. I got the perfect one for you, Becky. You'll get this. Trust me.
I'm glad you have faith.
Doo-doo Brown.
You definitely know that one.
Or I can
Cotton candy?
Pop that pussy for me. Pop.
You just wanted to say pussy.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you did.
I was cool with Doo Doo Brown, but the look on her face was give me more, so I gave her more.
No, because, see, you should have said something other than that.
I mean, what else is there to say? Doo Doo Brown.
I'm
Uncle Luke?
No, I don't know that.
Uncle Luke?
I don't have an Uncle Luke.
That we is all your
have,
Uncle
we all
Luke.
Have an Uncle Luke.
Man. Today on the docket, ladies and gents, we have the UPS discrimination in Ohio. So apparently, if you live in Ohio, if you live in this particular place in Ohio, I'm looking for the name.
Marmee?
I think it was Maui, ain't it?
Mommy?
Mommy, wherever the hell that
Miami.
Is.
Mommy.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah. Mommy, Ohio.
That place is
fuck y'all,
up.
Mommy, Ohio. Unless no, not the black people though.
Yeah, and unless y'all got my Amazon packages too, because I mean, however it go down. But I need my shit. But nah. So apparently, there's these black workers that were working in the UPS facility there, and there were things like what we'll do is we'll play a portion of the the news report, but they were doing things like hanging nooses,
dressing monkey dolls in UPS outfits, uniforms.
Mm-hmm. What else? The one, the Nigger Town?
Niggerville.
Niggerville, yep.
Yeah, not wanting to drive packages into Niggerville.
Yep, there's that. And, I mean, there was a whole slew of things. So, a couple of ways we can look at this. One, let's look at the HR aspect of it. It took them over a year to fire the person who admitted to hanging the noose, right?
Right.
So, Becky.
You.
Your specialty is HR.
True.
What, like, how should that be handled?
They, number one, it shouldn't have taken a year for that to occur. I would think at maximum 2 days, if that.
But do we know if UPS has a protocol that they have to follow when discrimination is actually...
When someone makes a complaint of harassment or discrimination, it is the company's responsibility to investigate and take action immediately. It is not... I don't understand why in this particular situation it took a year for that to occur. Now, you can have an internal process, but that internal process should not take a year.
Right.
It needs to be swift action once it is reported.
Right. So, and with a company as large as UPS, or, but let me also say that big business equals big money. And in keeping in with the themes of other shows that we've done, money is a tool. So if you are in a situation where your bottom line would be affected by people thinking or knowing that you have a racist culture, what you're trying to do or what you're going to do, everything within your power to protect your bottom line, correct? So what you're saying?
I think that they went about it the wrong way in order to supposedly protect their bottom line. Their way was sweeping it under the rug,
mm-hmm,
and allowing it to continue.
Right. Which is not something that we are surprised by.
No.
Because in this, you know, in today's climate, racism 2019, in a country where, you know, history has taught us that racism is not the way forward. We live in a country that racism literally in some places reigns supreme. Like, we have a president that is clearly a racist, a misogynist, a bigot, yet there's absolutely... So how can we police companies in America when the very top person
getting away with it,
right,
every day?
You know, it's like, how can you say, oh, UPS, shame on you, because you allowed this these racist acts to go on, when we have a president that routinely tweets out bigoted, misogynistic, racist rants?
Well, I'm hoping that sane America will do the right thing and hold people accountable.
You just said you don't want to talk about the election. Now you're talking about the election.
I'm not talking. You're
talking about election. Well, how else is sane America supposed to?
What I'm saying is, people who have morals and values.
People don't have those no more. They ain't had them since 1992.
Hmm. You might be right, because
Bill Clinton.
Like we said, these people in Ohio, one of these workers has worked at this facility for 30 years. And if the things that happen actually happen, which we know they have, mm-hmm, because Ohio's Commission on Discrimination has said that there's every reason to believe that facility actually was steeped in this culture of racism. Tell me, how do you stop it when the person that is supposed to be upholding the laws of this land is a racist himself?
Well, I think historically, presidents have been racist.
So Barack was racist too?
Probably.
Really?
Yeah. I heard he ain't like Chinese people. That's what I had heard from one of my inside sources. But no, I mean, prior to Barack, I mean, you go back 45 presidents, I can almost guarantee you that
you
all
think Clinton
of them
was a racist?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, you know, I
just because your legislation doesn't reflect your racism doesn't mean you're not racist.
I don't know.
That's a bar, son.
Nah.
That's a bar. That's a bar. Because, well, damn, I forgot what it was the other day. But anyway,
I'm glad you forgot.
That's yeah. No, I believe that they all Hillary Clinton, going back to the Bushes.
So basically,
Carter,
what you're saying is every white politician is racist.
I believe so. Yeah, because look at the Democratic chick. What's her name? The chick in Maryland that said basically PG County was Niggerville or something like that. What the fuck is that bitch's name?
You know what? Racism is not just a white American thing. You know, there are people of color who are racist.
We can't be.
How can we not be?
How can we be?
How can we not be? There are people of color who are racist towards Asian people.
Mary Lasanti, House of Delegates, voted to, interesting. Yeah. Well, her name is Mary Ann Lasanti.
Mm-hmm.
And she used, like, I forget what it was. I don't feel like reading the entire article, but I've seen it a few times. It was like something like going door to door in this particular county in Maryland, which is predominantly black. And she called it pretty much the same thing. I mean, I don't want to misquote her. But so you're saying black people can be racist.
Absolutely. Racism is not.
So you're saying reverse racism is a thing, or are you?
Reverse racism?
Mm-hmm.
Reverse racism.
Is that what you're saying?
No, racism is racism. There's no such thing as reverse racism.
Man, my original OG iPad done locked up on me. Piece of shit.
I mean, there's really your original OG iPad.
Hey. Oh, I got Michael Seely on here too.
Wait.
Fuck off my screen, nigga.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Wait.
Well, I will look for the quote.
All right. So
the other aspect of HR, because you were playing the clip earlier,
mm-hmm.
and I was thinking as a representative of UPS, what would my reaction, not my reaction, but what my defense may be against these allegations? As far as the person working in the part-time position for 30 years, I think there could be a number of other reasons why this person was in that position for that amount of time. And one is because I don't know, is did they apply for other positions? Did they even want to become a full-time employee?
I'm sure.
Did they apply to transfer to another facility? So those are questions that came to mind for that person to be in that particular position for that long.
All right, but are we not? So
were they a poor performer?
Right. Something that you said, did they apply to be transferred to a different facility? Why should I have to apply to be transferred to a different facility when my life is one place? And
people choose to relocate or move in order to be promoted or go to a different position.
Right. No,
that happens.
Right. I understand that. But in this context and in the UPS context, I guess I just misunderstood, because that whole did they ask to be transferred?
Wait, what
thing
are we talking about?
Racism.
Who's transferring?
You know what? Keep up.
Man, I'm looking for that damn quote. See, this is the problem with news articles. Like, for real, this is the problem with news articles. I just need to know what this stupid bitch said, right? But I have to read 10 paragraphs
you
on every fucking website.
Let me find it. What's the bra's name?
Mary Ann Lasanti. Lisanti.
Lisanti.
I'm like, can I just find a sentence of what
Mary
the fuck this bitch said? Nah, Lisanti. You got to read 20 paragraphs. And then they're just going to say the N-word. Suck my motherfucking dick. Oh, jeez. Motherfuckers. Wow. So, no. Who's transferring?
I was talking about the woman that's been in the part-time position at UPS for 30 years.
Nigger district is what she said.
Nigger district. See?
Oh, okay.
Man, fuck your iPad, too. my iPad just as good. Shit.
Man. She said it was a nigger district. Is what she said.
That's about right. So, I mean, that's in line with what the people in Ohio are saying. And this is a Democratic politician.
Right, but she's white.
And the governor of Virginia, blackface. I did blackface in a moonwalking comment. Mm-hmm. Shut your stupid ass up. And then the dumb motherfucker going to look around and see, I'm mad for some other reason, but I'm going to just take it out on this conversation. He going to look around when the dude say, do you still know how to moonwalk? Goofy motherfucker. Like, what? His wife had to tell him that's not appropriate.
And then, did you hear what his wife did afterwards?
She went home and put on blackface?
No.
Oh, it wouldn't surprise me.
No, she handed out cotton.
Hmm? Wait, what?
To students.
Why?
Wait, what?
There was a tour group touring, I guess, what is he?
Somewhere in Virginia.
Governor's mansion or wherever.
Right.
And she claims that she was providing context to how it used to be, and she handed out cotton.
Well, you know what?
Students.
We don't, I can't talk, and I can't say I'm appalled and I'm aghast.
But
at what she done, and I'm gonna tell you why. What she did, not what she done, but what she did, because we live in a state, our capital has a mural of slaves picking cotton.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it's engraved in a stone.
So, I mean, in our Capitol building, there are many, 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 many pictures and symbols of the Old South and slavery in that Capitol building, and they've never been removed.
Man, they're not going to. Mm-hmm. Like, there was all kinds of death threats when. So, ladies and gentlemen, here in New Orleans, we, of course, have all kinds of Confederate memorabilia. Mm-hmm. But we have this Lee Circle. That's one of them. And then mm-hmm. somewhere else on Jefferson Davis, there was another one. Mm-hmm. And they hired a company to come remove these statues. Mayor Mitch Landrieu hired a contractor to come remove these statues, right? And the owner of the company started getting death threats. Then didn't he have his Lamborghini or some shit, like somebody smashed that shit up?
Yeah.
So he ended up leaving, and then they had to call in all these extra resources, law enforcement, to have these statues taken down.
And they had to take them down in secrecy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in the middle of the night, 2:00 in the morning. So it's like, really? Like, these statues, they're not even fucking important to you. What's important is that black people are outraged, they're angry, and finally we have a platform now with social media, with cell phones, to get our voices out here and be heard, even with podcasts. It's like, yo, we've always had a problem with these Confederate statues, but right. Now we can all say the same thing at once.
At the same time. That's
so
right.
Now you have to react. And there's still a segment of America is like, I really don't give a shit about them statues there, but I know them niggers mad about it, so fuck it. Let's keep these statues. Like, man, fuck wrong with y'all,
it's
man.
It's not a segment of society. I think it's something that is pervasive in American society. Racism is the cancer that has never been excised. You know, there is not a treatment for this particular ailment. Because it is sewn into the fabric of our country. And it does not matter how many times we speak about it, we protest about it. What I see is this situation getting worse because the people that we have, our elected officials, be they Democrat, Republican, Independent, Socialist, whatever the hell they are, if you look at the majority of our elected officials, they are white men. Mm-hmm. And for as long as this country has been a country, white men have made the rules. And one of the rules that may not be written in stone anymore, it was once, is that black people and people of color are less than. And as I said, that is something that is pervasive in our society, in our culture. So what happened at UPS, what the senator said about a nigger district, all these little things that happen, and then people wonder why we get outraged. And over and over and over and over again, is because they can't place themselves in our shoes. You know, if you are a white person, you don't know what it feels like to live while being black.
Nah, but they think they do. And they think, and even some people who we consider allies, like I know you remember the conversation you and I had with a mutual friend who was asking, well, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do? And like the whole time we were talking, that was the only question she kept asking while we're explaining certain aspects of being black in 2019's America. Right. So that's a good question. But it's like everything else that we were saying was falling on deaf ears. Yeah, it's like, right. This is what we experience. Yeah. What can I do? OK, this is also what we experience. What can I do? Shut your ass up and listen.
Right.
And that's the thing. Everyone wants to either be, and they've coined the term, a white savior, right? Mm-hmm. So everyone who's an ally, not everyone, of course, but I'm just speaking generally here. Everyone who's an ally wants to be, in my opinion, that white savior, because these Negroes can't save themselves. They've had 400 years to do it and they still haven't. So, you know, I'm an ally, and they're genuinely allies. But at the same time, they want to swoop in. What can I do? You can fucking listen when we tell you what we go through. You're always looking for something to do. You're looking for action to take. Don't take any action right now. Fucking listen, process what we're telling you. And then down the road, if an appropriate action comes up, I mean, then take action.
But then, you know why that is, and why this particular person kept saying, what can I do and how can I do? It's because during the conversation, I'm more than sure once or twice she hurt herself or something that she had done, mm-hmm, as well. And that's the problem. Even people who think they understand, they've at some point or another have done the exact same things that we're talking about. You know, I know that people that I am friends with have profiled,
mm-hmm,
people of color in the past.
Fuck, I profile people of color.
You know, see, that's the thing. They have done it. So anytime they jump and they say, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do? It's out of a sense of guilt. It's because I see myself in what you're saying. You know, the experiences that you're going through, I've probably done that to somebody, maybe inadvertently, mm-hmm, but I've done it. Mm-hmm. But it's because it's a part of our DNA. It's a part of the fabric of who we are to act a certain way towards a certain people. And no matter how much we struggle, and we struggle and we want an equal playing field, I don't think that there is going to come a time when there's going to ever be an equal playing field.
It will. It's when the aliens finally land and then white people and black people like, oh shit,
we gotta fight against, hey, the aliens.
I heard Bubba's a marksman. Why don't you go? So yeah,
the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Yeah, that's right. It's crazy though.
We kill some aliens and then it's back to killing, mm-hmm, each other. So right. I mean,
but right. I think with the federal government having elected officials, in I guess in this session of Congress and in this Senate, being the most diverse.
Right. I mean, there's two Muslims.
Yes. As well as
a bunch of women.
Yes. A bunch of women.
But the majority white women.
True. But it's the minorities that are, well, one minority that has sparked some issues.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can't recall if it's a congresswoman or a senator.
AOC?
No, congresswoman. You're talking about.
Right. Who is Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
who has a record of saying anti-Semitic statements.
Right.
And Nancy Pelosi has basically kind of squashed it, meaning she kind of said, well, she isn't used to, or she doesn't understand how her message is being received.
Right. Well, that is what the whole purpose of that resolution was, to talk about diversity and inclusivity. But, you know, they make such a thing about what she said when in Congress, there's been a plethora of instances. Congressmen talk about Black people, Hispanic people, Muslim people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, okay, she did say something that was anti-Semitic. True. But let's talk about all the rhetoric that's spouted out of the mouths of our Congress people when they talk about Black people, or they talk about Muslim people, or they talk about, hell, any of a number of people of color. Right now, your president is featured in a manifesto of the New Zealand killer that killed 49 people.
Man, and that dude was an Australian. Like, that story has so much wrong with it.
Mm-hmm.
The dude came from Australia. He's mm-hmm. a white nationalist in Australia mm-hmm. that went to New Zealand, who has probably historically the lowest murder rate, mm-hmm. lowest rate of violence.
Right.
And shot up a mosque full of Muslims that had fled from war-torn countries. It's like, man, that's so fucked up. And then videotaped this shit.
Right. So you had a body cam.
Why didn't it's a stupid question, because this happens in America over and over again. White shooter, they make it out without a scratch on them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they need to murder these motherfuckers, man. They need to shoot them. How, like, I still didn't see how they got him in custody.
I don't know. I haven't read the story. I've listened to the news reporting, but I haven't sought to look and read to see how the whole takedown happened. But it does boggle the mind, doesn't it? It's like, okay, so you moved from Australia to New Zealand, and you sat and you waited and you planned, and you walk into a mosque that had people during worship, and this women and children. And literally some of the reporting said while people were shot and pleading for their lives, he walked up to them
and shot.
Executed them. And so, and you have this, what, 400, 500, how many pages was his manifesto?
Shit, I don't know. It was a lot, man. And come to think about it, okay, so in Birmingham, Alabama, or maybe even right outside of Birmingham, I think it was in, starts with a H. Shit, I love Birmingham. But right outside of Birmingham, there was a mall. There was a shooting in the mall. There was a Black man there. He was a military member, mm-hmm. maybe former military member.
Yep.
He was legally carrying a weapon, much like your boy. It's a damn shame I forget his name. No, Blant. I don't. Castillo, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he legally had his firearm. He did exactly what you're supposed to do when there's a shooting and you have a legal firearm on you.
Mm-hmm.
He pulled his firearm and... I mean, that at that point, before the police got there, that was your only hope for safety, is this Black man with a gun who was not the shooter. Police ran up in there, stormed there, killed the motherfucker.
That's
man.
Right. Lit him up.
Killed
him. Lit him up.
So it's like, yo, the dude, Dylan Roof, shot up a Black church,
mm-hmm.
took his ass to Burger King, right?
Mm-hmm.
The dude that shot up the movie theater in Colorado,
right?
That motherfucker looked like he was dressed up for the movie, but he got out of there without a scratch on him. You look at this latest dude here, right? It's like, yo, a Black man with a gun who is not the bad guy,
they're
getting gunned down.
Always. Well, always. And that is what we're talking about. You know, last show we were talking about, or previous shows, we talk about disparities. anybody white, doesn't matter where you are, anybody that's fair skinned is going to be given the benefit of the doubt. You know, you see a black man with a gun side by side with a white man with a gun.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you think is going to get tagged as a perpetrator first?
Here's my question then. As black people, right? Because historically, and it was taught by the Panthers and even the new Black Panthers, you arm yourselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
If we can't operate under the same laws that our white counterparts operate under, right? Which is the Second Amendment. We can't even have a fucking gun. And there was a social experiment I watched a while ago where a white dude's walking down the street, AR-15 on his back, right?
It was all good.
He got stopped by the police. Cops, what you doing? Just exercising my right. All right, let him go. Same area, a black man walking down the street, AR-15 on his back. They ain't asked no questions. They jumped out, guns drawn, get on the ground. So it's like, if we can't operate under the Second Amendment, how are we supposed to protect ourselves?
But the problem is, see, you're talking about the Second Amendment. As a people, we've never been able to operate within the confines of the law as our white counterparts. We never have been able to. So, you know, federal law, be it federal law, state or city, we've never been able to operate as our white brothers and sisters.
So how do we?
We don't. And that's the thing. And that's the problem.
So you're saying we cannot, period.
We cannot. I mean, show me one instance where we have been able to.
Hey,
tell me.
I don't know. I'm asking the questions here. Shit.
That is the issue. And that's what we're talking about. We have never been able as a people to operate within the confines of the law.
Mm-hmm.
It does not matter what side we're on. We're always on the side of wrong. I said previously, and we say this all the time, innocent until proven guilty.
Yep.
That is the case of everybody else. Black people are guilty until proven innocent. That's always been our cross.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah. I agree 100%. But so at some point, though, we have to be able to protect ourselves, to protect our families, to defend ourselves.
Anarchy.
I agree with that shit. Let's go to the Capitol with some. But what I'm saying is, this is going to sound fucked up saying it, but I'm gonna say it anyway. Somebody has to be willing. Multiple people have to be willing to give up their lives.
And multiple people were willing.
They were.
Multiple
they
people
were.
Died.
They
to
did.
Try to give us the rights.
They did.
In the land of the free and the home of the brave. And in spite of their sacrifice. In spite of their sacrifice, 2019, are still fighting.
Now, when I say somebody has to die or be willing to give up their lives, I'm talking anarchy. I'm talking about running up on, let's do the same thing that they're doing to us. Not that I would recommend this, but I'm saying it's almost to the point where that's what needs to be done. We need to do the same thing to them that they're doing to us, because at the end of the day, even if nothing changes, they will know how it feels. They will know how it feels to have their children murdered in cold blood. They'll know how it feels to have their sense of safety, their sense of protection stripped away from them. Because right now they could walk these streets and feel like, yo, I'm safe. Mm-hmm. I'm good. The police got me.
That's
nothing's
right.
happening to me.
Got me.
I get fucking nervous going to the gas station to get gas because just simple shit. Like I can't do simple shit. Like I make a wrong turn or some shit like that.
And I get pulled over by the cop.
You can't even go to work.
It'll be a Sandra Bland situation.
Exactly, man. So I think in my opinion, now this is the revolutionary in me is saying we need to do unto them an eye for an eye type of shit. And let's get it cracking. But I just don't want to volunteer to do it. I need somebody with a lot less to lose. But in all seriousness, I think that's what it's going to take is for somebody to jump out there and say, fuck it. But we need more than one person.
But see,
well, then where is it going to end?
We need a militia.
We do need a militia.
That would have to be an army.
What do you mean? Where is it going to end?
An eye for an eye. Everybody's going to be blind by the end of it.
That's all good. Because I mean, short of that, what options do we have? Because right now we can't, we can't treat them the way they treat us without harsh repercussions, right? So we also can't live under the same laws. Well, we're not protected by the same laws that they are. So we're already at a disadvantage. We're financially at a disadvantage as well because of, as we always talk, unequal economics. So with the board stacked against us,
family had $500.
Right. Mm. Exactly. Exactly. Mm. And that, you know, we talked about that, what, last episode. But like, we, what else is there left to do? What can we do? I mean, other than an all out war, I don't know. Any.
Man, look, I threw anarchy out there facetiously because I believe in the rule of law.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
you just said that law does not protect us, though.
And it doesn't. And it's true.
So you believe in the white man's law.
But the reason why I studied the law, the reason why I became a lawyer is because in my head, it's like, get into the system, learn the system so that you could fix the system. And in its own way, that's a bit of anarchy. And that's what that's honestly what we need. We need people in the system.
Oh, we got a lot of people in the system.
Right, in the wrong system.
In the wrong end of the system.
You know, in the criminal industrial complex.
What's going to happen, and this is just my opinion and reacting to what you're saying, is the system will swallow you whole. Because the system is not designed for you to be able to infiltrate and make change.
See, that's the thing, though. That thinking. Because we don't have to be assimilationists. We mm-hmm. don't have to enter the system and yield to the matrix.
Mm-hmm.
Neo didn't. He broke free.
That's a movie. It's just time. This is real life.
Guess what? Life can imitate art. We can break free of the system. We just have to get enough of us in there that are willing, like you say, to sacrifice.
Okay.
So these people that are in Congress right now that can make change, sacrifice your seat. You know what I'm saying? But, and what you said is true, because once you become, you know, it's power to the people, and I'm going in here because I want to make a change. But once you get into that position, once you get into that congressional seat, oh, this is plush. Shit, I don't want to lose this. So
or I'm trying to do good and I got this person supporting me on this one. But if I do that, then I'm going to lose support from the other one. And then, oh, I got this lobbyist that's going to support me on this particular issue.
And that's you're 100% right, because that's how the system is built. So when you get in there as a senator, as a representative, like, you cannot, your hands are tied from the time you step foot in there, because, all right, how'd you get there? Campaign contributions. You have all kinds of, you have people other than your constituents that you need to satisfy before you can even think about satisfying your constituents. These people are going to be the Philip Morrises. They're going to be the big, you know, Nike.
Big pharma.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what can you do once you get there? Because if those that are backing you financially don't want you to do this, believe you will not do that.
See, but here's the thing. So remember what I said about don't worry about if you're going to win the next term or not?
Mm-hmm.
Buck the system enough, cause enough disruption. They may get you out of the way, but basically the ripples that are left behind will cause somebody else to say, oh, she did it or he did it. Mm-hmm. Let me go in here and do it too. You know, let me play the game to get in the position that I need to be, and then fuck the whole system up.
See, I just don't think anybody will be that selfless.
But see, you just said we need people.
I'm talking to violence.
We need people
to
willing
to die.
That is a political death. Is a death.
But see, you but still live beyond political death, though. You'll still, okay, once you're out of politics, nobody's going to touch you for anything.
Okay, good. But that is death.
Not even the failing New York Times will touch you.
But see, that's what I'm saying. You're talking about physical death and violence. I'm talking about political death and violence in a manner of, like I said, get in there, fuck it up. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you won't be a senator next term.
Is that what Donald Trump's doing? Would you say that's what Trump's doing right now?
No.
He got in there and fucked it up. I'm saying. So
No, he got in there and shit the bed.
He fucked the bed up.
No, what he did, he got in there. He's not effing it up. He's playing to his base. He got in there because of what he was saying. And he continues to have the ear and the heart of these people who are closet racist and bigots and not so closet racist and bigots.
So why hasn't he lost his base since he's been unable to fulfill a lot of these campaigns?
It doesn't matter. What he's saying is feeding them. It's like, he is saying everything that they want to hear. You know, the Bible talks about itching ears. Man, they need flea powder. Their ears are itching so much, and he is basically soothing. He's saying everything that they want to hear. So he is not going to lose them.
But if something doesn't match up, okay, this is what's coming out of my mouth, but this is what actually happening.
Right.
Like,
They're dumb.
Won't there something click to say, okay, I need to stop listening?
No, this is how smart they are. This is how smart they are. So the newest tagline went from build that wall to finish that wall. Mm-hmm. That's what they're screaming now. Finish mm-hmm. that wall.
Mm-hmm. Like he even started the wall.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. But they're so delusional. They don't care that there's non-action. Mm-hmm. This is one thing that I'll say about Americans in general. All of us, we're the meanest fucking people out here. That I think that's bar none. Like, I know people from, I don't know everyone from every country, but we are some mean spirited people, even us in our community, mean spirited. But when you're mean spirited and you have someone that is at the top of the hypothetical food chain who is mean spirited as well, saying these mean spirited things that are meant to harm others, you get a kick out of that. You get a rise out of that. So it doesn't matter that he hasn't done shit since he's been in office. I mean,
no, there he's basically saying out loud what they are afraid to say out loud.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them, because think about Donald Trump and how he won. There were a lot of, you know, all the polls showed that Hillary Clinton was going to win, that she was ahead in the poll by massive digits. Thing is, everybody that was polled said, oh, no, I'm voting for this person. But secretly, they voted for Donald Trump because secretly they loved everything that he was saying. Because, as I said, he was saying things out loud that they have been wanting to say out loud most of their lives. So, damn, he's saying, man, just, yeah, go down, tell him
Even though this man cannot relate to you one lick.
Doesn't matter. No. They're stupid. So that takes us into ask an attorney. Attorney. Stop the video. Start the video. It's a fucking piece of shit camera. Okay. I recently went into my favorite restaurant. Ooh, I could say the restaurant's name, but I won't. I recently went into my favorite restaurant and I ordered my usual meal and I ordered a oatmeal raisin cookie.
Mm.
The oatmeal raisin cookie, which does not list peanuts in its ingredients, contained peanuts. I'm allergic to peanuts. I almost died. What am I to do?
Okay.
Is there any recourse, basically, for... Yeah,
sue, personal injury. So the thing is, you have to make or be 100% sure that there is nothing on the menu that has any cautions. So if there's anything on the menu that says, you know, caution, this food is prepped in the same kitchen that preps
soy
peanuts and this and that mm-hmm. or other, or this is fried in oil, peanut oil, or if there's no warning anywhere, then that's an issue. So yeah.
And not only their paper menu that they give you, but also their online menu, because they don't give you everything at the restaurant.
And that's fucked up, because what they'll do is they'll go in after they see the lawsuit come through and add an asterisk at the bottom and like, may contain peanuts. Bitch, you don't put no peanuts in an oatmeal raisin cookie. Get the fuck out of here, man. So this concludes another episode of Black Law and Legal Lies, where we specialize in justice for all. Justice for all people.
Anarchy.
Yeah. Becky, just can you please say black power?
It'll sound wrong.
Please.
Say it anyway. We just talked about anarchy, man.
Come on. Buck the system, Becky.
Black power.
Oh, Jesus.
Work on it.
My black card's been revoked, okay?
We're trying to help you get it back here, man. So anyway, I'm Dan. You can catch me on Twitter and IG at I Am Dan on Drugs. You can catch the show across all platforms at Black Law Podcast.
And I'm just Anne, and you can follow me at I Tell Legal Lies on Twitter.
And this has been another edutaining episode of Black Law and Legal Lies with Afro Becky.
And just a note for the people, if you guys happen to watch the video and see me tweaking like I'm a crackhead, just keep looking over my shoulder.
He is a crackhead.
It's because I'm monitoring the video that keeps shutting off. But bear with us as we get this video shit together.
Wakanda forever.
Really?
There you go. That sounded. Mm-mm. They can't see you. Okay. Peace out, people.
No, it was all about racism.